So let's start with a show of hands. Ready? Who has heard the term sheeple? You can figure out what it means, right? Yeah. It's a portmanteau of sheep and people. And it strikes us contemporary Americans as sort of an insult, doesn't it? We are independent thinkers. We make up our own minds, right? We're not sheeple. So today we hear people asking Jesus, well, we don't hear it. This happens before the reading today, right before. Jesus is responding to a bunch of folks chasing him around the temple, asking him, are you the Messiah? Tell us, let us know. And Jesus says this, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. Now, if that image of sheeple upsets you, just relax. It's not in this gospel ever about mindlessly following some authority figure. It's about a relationship of deepest trust between one who leads lovingly and those who follow, who are dependent on the leader for their survival. Now, sheep have a reputation of being dumb and passive and smelly. But I am told that sheep do have the ability to distinguish the voice of their shepherd from all the other voices and all the other noises in their world. So this image in today's gospel leaves me as someone who wants very much to be a disciple of Jesus. It leaves me with two important questions, and I invite you to ask these same questions of yourself. First, have I really learned to distinguish the voice of Jesus, the risen Christ, in my daily life? There's a lot of noise out there. There are literally thousands of voices every day trying to distract us from the one voice that brings life. And question two, am I following that voice? Am I walking in the direction that the shepherd beckons me? Hear and follow. It's a great job description for any of us who hope to live up to the name Christian. The first question, do I hear Jesus, invites constant, conscious discernment, making thoughtful choices about what it is we pay attention to. So much comes at us every day that research is telling us more and more we have developed defenses, sort of pre-conscious programs in our brains about what we let into our awareness and what we keep out. Some stuff we just ignore entirely, because it's an impossible job to get a handle on everything that wants our attention. So we sort of push some stuff out before our attention has a chance to kick in. And when we do pay attention, we still have the job of figuring out what's good and what's bad, what carries God's love and what stifles it. It's kind of an important task. Wouldn't it be great if we had some sort of caller ID for our souls? We do, I think. We have the Gospels. We have the indwelling spirit that is our conscience, formed by prayer and sacrament and wise church teaching. And when we use these gifts, when we listen to that spirit, we can learn to distinguish the voice of Christ more clearly in everything. But hearing is not enough by itself. Once we've made that discernment and picked out the voice of Christ, we have to put one foot in front of the other and move. Often, when we move, we have to turn away from the direction in which we have been headed because we're human and we get lost. We have a tremendous capacity to get lost, even when our spouse is on the seat next to us telling us the directions. Huh? You could call home and ask my wife. Wouldn't it be great if we had some sort of GPS system for our souls? Again, I think we do. We have a shepherd who seems never to tire of calling out to us. Now, there's a very weighty church word for the turning that we almost always seem to have to do when we hear that voice. We call it repentance. Now, that word might sound ominous or scary or guilt-ridden, but it really means simply to turn, to look in a new direction for our fulfillment and happiness. So, hear and follow. Very simple instructions that take a world of effort from us. So, why bother? This little gospel today, this little gospel section, gives us the answer. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can take them out of my hand. No one can take them out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one. You and I, together, we really are invited to participate in the constantly generative, unfailingly loving, unending life of God. With that as the destination, I'm very happy to keep striving to better recognize and heed the shepherd's voice, and to more courageously and more consistently follow, put one foot in front of the next, wherever the voice leads. I pray to be worthy of being known as one of his sheeple. The noise and distraction seem never to stop, don't they? But neither does the shepherd stop calling. In the Eucharist, in Scripture, in the faces of those God loves, in all of these ways, you and I continue to be called every day. Now, if you listen to the first two readings today, you know that the definition of those God loves is everybody. Remember, everybody includes the mean guy at work or school. It includes the jerk down the block with the loud stereo or the loud dog. And it includes the crazy uncle or the crazy aunt at Thanksgiving dinner. They're all part of everybody. And by the way, if you don't know who the crazy uncle or aunt is, maybe it's you. But you're part of that everybody. To participate in carrying divine love to that everybody might seem like a job that could take eternity. The miracle is when it's divine love, not our own selfish agenda, when it's divine love that we carry, we never run short. We are always held up by the Spirit of the living Christ. Because when we seek to have a share in eternal life, that's what we get. Constantly being upheld.